The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to the apostles, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in a boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the last few weeks, as we've been taking an in-depth look at the Ten Commandments, we've learned just how much God cares for his people. He established a relationship with us, a relationship like no other relationship, a relationship centered upon God's steadfast love, his unconditional, perfect, all-encompassing love for his people. And with this relationship established by our Heavenly Father, there comes God's decision about us, a certainty of his decision. First of all, God declares that he is our God. He is our God for all time. He is our God in every place. We shall have no other God. There is no other God. Any other God we might follow is a false God. Any time that we would put ourselves at the center of our universe, we set ourselves up to be our own false God. There is no other God. Following another God will always leave us astray. False gods are gods without power. They have no power to forgive sins. They have no power to save life. And God also has placed his name upon our lips so that we might call upon him at every time of need, every time of trouble, every prayer and praise and thanksgiving, any situation under the sun. God commands us to call upon him by name. Pray to him so that we will not run after other gods. We won't feel a sense of urgency or a sense of need, knowing that we have the certainty of God's promise. We can rely on him. We can rely on him so deeply that we would fear, love, and trust him above all things. And finally, God has given us his word, his promise to us through Jesus Christ. It's a word so wonderful that we are to take one day in seven, rest from our labors, and hear and learn from the word of God so that we know that these promises are true. This is the story that God would have us know. This is the story that God would have us understand. And with these first three commandments, we have learned what we call the first table. The first table of the Ten Commandments. They're God's plan for eternity. God's plan for his people forever. That through Christ he would save us from our sins. Make all things new. And in that making of all things new, he would also make us new. With the completion of the first table, we move on to the fourth commandment this week, and we move on into what we know as the second table. The first table tells us all about the relationship God would have with his people. The second table teaches us about the relationships that we would have with one another as we live as children of God. And so God gives us the fourth commandment. In Exodus 20, verse 12, God says, "Honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord is giving you." And Luther teaches us that this means that we should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents or other authorities, but honor them, serve them, and obey them, love and cherish them. The second table of the commandments begins where life begins for us. It begins in our very homes. Our life begins at home with our parents. The second table begins with our life together as God's people in our homes. It's rooted in the relationship that God established so long ago. It's rooted in that relationship that's patterned between God and people, and it's rooted in the relationship that God establishes between parent and child. God places such a high priority upon this commandment that it's the first and only commandment that is given with a promise. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. But what does it mean, as we take a look at it, what does it mean to truly honor our parents? You know, to honor someone is to recognize them for some special event or some special attribute in their life. If we receive an award, or if we do particularly well at a task, and people commend us for it, we feel honored. We feel honored. And the same goes for those who we would show that same appreciation. We honor them. But to truly honor someone, we first must love them. Honor always begins with love. When we honor our father and mother, we love them in such a way that they become most important to us. We want to please them. We want to serve them. We want to obey them. We want to do as they would have us do. But honor is even more than simply just loving someone. When we honor someone, we also show them the highest form of respect, the highest form of reverence. It's a respect that doesn't seek to argue. It's a respect that doesn't call everything into question. It doesn't insult. It doesn't belittle. It doesn't strive to have its own way, but instead it says, I want to be like them. I want to live as they live. I want to be known as their child. This is where we begin to have trouble in keeping this fourth commandment. We know we're to love and honor our father and mother. We know that we're to love and honor those whom God places in authority over us. But we also know that we are sinners living in a fallen and broken world. And we also know that those people who we are called to honor are also sinners. We're also sinners. All of us are sinners, apt to seek the highest form of respect for ourselves. We seek respect. We seek reverence. We want to be regarded as special. All of the members of our fallen humanity, all the members of the human family throughout the world are in need of God's redeeming grace. How are we to honor one another if we know we're so fractured and so broken? This is where Luther's meaning of the fourth commandment comes in. And this is where we need to pay close attention. In his small catechism, Luther begins the explanation of each commandment the same way. We are to fear and love and trust in God above all things, so that every time when we read one of the Ten Commandments in the small catechism, Luther explains it with that phrase. We are to fear and love God above all things. The relationship that God established with us is certain. It's true. It's eternal. When human bonds are broken, we can trust God and His love. We can trust God to extend His mercy and His grace to us as we confess our sins and fall at the feet of the cross seeking His mercy. In our gospel text today, Jesus and the 12 are departing the shore, getting into a boat, and then when the story picks up, they're in the midst of the sea, sailing at night, when a violent storm arises. And their small boat was being beaten and battered by the waves, so much so that it was taking on water. The disciples, naturally, became afraid. The disciples became fearful for their life. The disciples were wondering if the boat was going to sink. They were in a panic. They didn't know which way to turn. This is not some place they wanted to be, especially in the middle of the night. And during all of this, the whole time, Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. You know, in times such as these, in times of trouble, in times of turmoil, when those storms come into our lives, you know, we seek one thing and one thing only. We tend to worry about our future. We tend to worry about our health and our well-being. We fear for our life. We panic. We worry that we're not going to make it. We worry that things aren't going to turn out the way we hoped that they would. We're afraid that things are going to take a turn for the worse. And life as we know it is going to come to an abrupt end. And all the while, as we're worried about these things, as earthly life is caving in upon us, we forget that Christ is with us. Christ said he'll be with us even to the end of the age. He is with us in all circumstances. In this text that we have before us, there's an interesting little word that we can't ignore. You know, and it's been a while since I went through summer Greek, and it's been a while since I had to translate Greek text for a living. But my Greek is a little bit rusty at some times, but this word that comes to us in this passage that we have before us is one that is small but strong. It's the word dilethomene. It's a word that is most commonly translated for us as cross over. Jesus says, let us cross over to the other side. Let us go to the other side of the lake and minister to those people over there. Let us cross over. But this word also has another meaning. Well, like so many other Greek words, there are more than one option on how to translate this word. This word also means to go through or to pass through. When Jesus said they were to head to the other side of the sea, he was saying first they needed to pass through their doubts. They needed to pass through their fears. They needed to do these things, pass through doubt and fear, and they needed to prevail by faith. In our broken world, not everyone lives in a loving relationship with their mother and father. We have to admit that family relationships are strained. They're broken. Some of these relationships turn abusive. Some of these relationships are filled with neglect. Sometimes children are simply abandoned by their father and their mother. Either way, the hurt that results from these situations gets in the way of this commandment to honor our father and mother. So how do we honor someone who has wronged us in such a way? How do we serve and obey them, love and cherish them, as Luther would say? The storms that arise within these relationships are certainly devastating. They cause real damage. Yet even in these, we can't forget that Christ is there in the boat with us. Christ is there with us at all times. He's with us. He's commanded us to call upon him in every time of need and trouble. That's why God gives us his name. It's the kind of pain that is severe because the relationships between parent and child are broken. They're meant to be positive, but they don't always turn out that way. They're meant to be nurturing and wholesome. Nonetheless, there are many who hurt deeply because of various kinds of parental abuses or neglect. How does a believer in God's promise carry out God's commandment, the one that God places such a high priority upon that he attaches the promise of long, abundant life to it? What would God have to say to us about that? Well, first, God would say, pray. Pray for your parents. Pray for those who have neglected you. Pray for those who have abandoned you, who have hurt you, who have broken you. Pray for those who have caused you pain. And keep on praying. Pray that they would be helped. That even though the times may be difficult, they might see God's activity in their life. And then as you pray and you come into contact, model Christ-like behavior for them. Lift them up before God. Pour out your heart in your prayers. Weep if you have to. Bear your heart and your soul before your Lord. Lift up those times of trouble. Hand them over to God. And before you know it, the message of love will come through. And as you hear the message of love, forgive them. Forgive them. Passing through the storm means trusting God in all circumstances. It means understanding that His grace is sufficient in all matters of life and faith. Reconciliation is possible. Jesus took these sins even to the cross. Reconciliation is possible, and it begins there with forgiveness. God places such a high priority on this commandment. This commandment to honor our mother and father, that our days might be long in the land that our God is giving us. God loves them too. God loves our parents, and God loves us. God knows what is best for us. He knows what is best for them. God made us in His image and likeness. He made them in His image and likeness. And that's why He has made the decision to be our God and that we would be His people for all time. Just as we live together forever because we belong to God, so do those who we fear and love and trust and honor and obey and show reverence and affection and love and cherish. In this, we are given the promise of God that our days will be long and filled with joy, even in times of stormy and uncertainness. So it is that we are given this promise of a life well lived, a faithful life, a fruitful life, especially when we have the loving relationship that we share between parent and child. In these relationships and in all matters of earthly life, we can fear, love, and trust in God above all things. People of God, is God who made us. He made us in His image and likeness. He has given us His name. He's commanded us to call upon Him. And in doing these things, God is the one who brings peace in the midst of storms. God is the one who sent His Son into the world to show us the perfect example of God's love, to extend that love to so many, to show us how to walk with Christ and live a godly life, extending mercy and grace to those whom we meet. All of these things as we call upon His name and ask for help. In these relationships, just as all believers honor and love and trust in God, we are to honor and love one another. We are to show the highest respect, the deepest reverence, so that all children may honor their parents, their aunts, their uncles, as the children said earlier, teachers, policemen, firemen, those who are called to help us in times of trouble, so that we all might live into the faithful, fruitful, abundant life that God calls us to share in His kingdom forever and ever. God said, honor your father and mother, that the days may be long in the land that God is showing you. And Martin Luther says, we are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things, so that we would love and honor and obey our parents and those who are placed in authority over us, to show them deep respect and reverence, to love them and cherish them. This is most certainly true. Amen.